Hello, everyone. This is John Mielke, and you're listening to Parkside Today. With me is Dr. Norm Cloutier, Emeritus Professor of Economics here at UW-Parkside, and we're going to talk a little bit about the amazingly popular foreign film series, and also Assistant Professor of Music, Laura Rexroth. And Laura will tell us about the upcoming music season and something about Acablas. We'll see what Acablas is about. So, Norm and Laura, welcome to Parkside Today. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
So, Laura, what is Acablas?
Acablas is a short for a university ensemble that's coming to visit. This is the University of Braunschweig, and they are on tour in the United States starting later this month in August. We are one of the first stops here. Mm-hmm. So they'll be performing in Bedford Hall on Sunday, September 15th. The concert's at 3, okay. And it is free and open to the public. I know that Kenosha has a sister city in Wolfenbüttel, mm-hmm. Germany. They are not from that city, but so this is what we would call a kind of a college community ensemble. Mm. It's a technical university. There are no music majors. So this is faculty, staff, families of faculty and staff, and students who enjoy getting together and playing.
Okay.
It's billed as a brass ensemble. It has woodwinds and brass and percussion. So in America, we would call it a band or a concert band.
Mm-hmm.
And they play a wide variety of repertoire, including really popular stuff. I'm looking at some of the PR that they sent me. They talk about playing music from Queen, Bon Jovi, Game of Thrones, Mary Poppins. I love this. Evergreens from Germany. So I know we're going to hear some international sounds there and everything.
Right.
They contacted us last year, and we've never hosted an international band before. So we're really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And my students will have an opportunity to interact with them as well.
Sure. Do you know if they've toured the U.S. before?
I don't know the answer to that. I would say probably not. I was speaking to the director, mm-hmm. and this seems like this is they tour quite frequently on the continent,
mm-hmm.
But I think this is their first trip to America.
Okay, so this is going to be on Sunday, September 15th.
Correct.
3 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
Bedford Concert Hall.
Correct.
There is no charge for admission. Do people still have to call and get tickets for it?
No, we're not going to do free tickets.
Okay. All right. So they can just come here on Sunday, September 15th, 3 p.m., Bedford Concert Hall, to hear Acablas.
Right.
And the group from Germany. Tell us about what else is going on this year with your performance series.
Right. Well, I have two ensembles within the music department, the Student Wind Ensemble and our very well-respected community band. And I'm really excited. We did a terrific 50th year mm-hmm. anniversary season last year, and I was thinking, how do we continue this, keep the ball rolling?
Right.
So this year, we have four concerts, two in the fall and two in the spring every year. Those concerts are always on Thursday nights. And everything starts at 7. Those concerts do have admission fees. They're very low, $5 and $10.
Mm-hmm.
And people can buy tickets in advance, or they can come to the box office
mm-hmm.
in the evening. So we have kind of a variety of things going on this year. And the first concert I just wanted to talk a little bit about, because I'm calling it the Legacy of John P. Painter. And if you are a wind band person, or a conductor in the United States, you'll know that name. He was the director of bands at Northwestern University for 53 years. He was my teacher, one of my mentors. And he's one of those people who really had an international reach. And so we're doing music for him. He was responsible for commissioning many, many works that have come into the master works for wind band.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a leader in most of the national and some of the international organizations that sponsor wind music around the world. So I'm really excited about that. And it also connects to a guest conductor that we had last year, Ray Kramer, who was the director of bands at Indiana University
mm-hmm.
for a long time.
Yeah.
Also very well thought of internationally and nationally. And they were, Mr. Painter and Mr. Kramer were very good friends personally as well as professionally. Hmm. So we have a couple of interesting pieces on this first concert. And the first concert is Thursday, October 17th. Okay. All the concerts are in Bedford. One of the most interesting pieces, we'll be doing a premiere, a brand new piece, and I know we'll be doing the Wisconsin premiere, if not the Midwestern premiere. It's called Full Circle by Ryan George, and it was commissioned for Mr. Kramer while he was conducting last winter an honor band, a national honor band.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had been working with us and because he was such a close friend of Mr. Painter, when the score and parts arrived, I thought, this will be great to put on the program.
Sure.
With the Painter connection there.
Sure.
Painter did a lot of additions and arrangements, and we're doing a couple of those, including some marches by a fellow named C.L. Barnhouse. There's Barnhouse Publishing now that's been around for a long time, originating in Iowa. And there were some marches that were edited by Mr. Painter for some of the first things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
He also loved the English composer Malcolm Arnold, and did a lot of editions of his works for wind band. Arnold composed for orchestra mainly. He was kind of a character in England, a real interesting person, which is a whole nother conversation. But the wind ensemble is going to do Sarah Band and Polka, which is just really delightful, light kind of music. The community band is going to be doing something called Tam O'Shanter Overture, which is based on the Robert Burns Scottish poem about the farmer who comes intoxicated out of the pub and on his way home is going through the woods on the horse. He's not supposed to go through the woods because the spirits and the witches are going to chase him,
yeah,
which they do.
They do.
Right. And he ends up being, you know, getting by the skin of his teeth out of the woods. And the famous story is one of the witches grabs the horse's tail. It's a really interesting, fun piece of music.
Wow. And what is the date on that?
This is all for the October 17th concert. Yep.
Okay.
And then there's a composer, Mark Camphouse, who was a student of Mr. Painter's at Northwestern. And when Mr. Painter died suddenly and far too soon, he was commissioned to write a piece called Whatsoever Things. That was in 1997. And the university motto for Northwestern is Whatsoever Things. It's the Philippians Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, mm-hmm, just, pure, lovely, think on these things. Mm. And this is a really remarkable piece. So this is a piece in memoriam, in honor for him. And so it's going to be a nice mix of, you know, some really bright, sparkly things, some thought-provoking music, and then some just really beautiful, lyrical, singing kind of melodic things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all in October.
Great.
And then just briefly, in December, December 5 is our second concert, and that we're calling that Masterwork for Winds. There's a lot of pieces that have been composed in every century, going all the way back to Gabrielli for Winds, and we'll be featuring that. We do have, we're going to be hosting, I believe it's our fifth annual High School Honor Band in January.
Okay.
That's Saturday, January 4th. That concert is open to the public as well. So that will be musicians that are nominated by their high school band directors, mm-hmm, from Northern Illinois, Southern Wisconsin. We usually have about 15 or 16 high schools that participate, and it's a one-day event. We come in, everybody sight reads in the morning, we rehearse all day and give a performance,
wow,
in the evening.
Wow.
It's fabulous.
And how many students take part?
Well, as many as we can fit on the stage, which is usually about 70.
Wow.
Yeah.
That fills up the bed. I mean, from sound standpoint, that really fills up the Bedford, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. It does. The first concert of the second semester is March 12th, Beethoven's 250th anniversary in 2020. And Beethoven wrote quite a few pieces for chamber winds. So we're going to be featuring Beethoven, like most people don't hear him, you know.
Interesting.
And he is definitely a changing force for the entire Romantic era there. So, and the music is charming and really delightful.
Mm-hmm.
And then our last concert, which is May 7th, features student senior soloists. We're going to be having a solo competition in the fall for people who are sadly leaving us but who would like to perform as a soloist with the ensemble, and that's always just really great.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Interesting. I want to jump back a little bit that earlier this year you had a day-long event which was promoted quite a bit in terms of bringing alumni back to campus for as part of the community band.
Oh, well, actually, yes, it was last spring.
Last spring.
And that was part of our 50th anniversary of the university celebration.
Right.
It was, if I understand correctly, it was the first time we've had an alumni band.
When I heard about it and we were, you know, promoting it, mm-hmm. I thought I had not seen that type of an event take place here, you know, especially where there was quite a bit of, there was time involved so that if someone did want to participate, they certainly knew about it well enough in advance.
Correct.
As opposed to, we're going to do this Saturday and we're talking about it on
right,
Monday.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, I started working on it about 2 years beforehand,
mm-hmm.
And ran into some unexpected roadblocks, and the department was really wonderful in helping me with that.
Good.
And so we eventually ended up with a spring date. So yes, there was a lot of advertising, a lot of outreach from the music department, from the College of Arts and Humanities, letting
sure.
people know about the event.
Sure.
So we had 40
wow.
in the ensemble, which is really remarkable. I know we chatted about that last spring, John, because I remember.
Right.
I come from programs in the Midwest where if I go back to my university, there's an alumni organization, band, and orchestra and choir every commencement weekend.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And we're talking about hundreds of people, you
yeah.
know. So I'm hoping that this would be the start of something that would progress into that.
Sure.
It was wonderful because my predecessor, Mark Eichner, I invited him to come back and conduct. Mm-hmm. So the two of us were sharing the podium. And so we had people from his era. And this is my sixth year, so we even had some alums that were from my era,
wow.
if you want to call
yeah,
it that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And again, yeah. it was music that I knew that they would be familiar with, but we basically got together and had the rehearsal in the morning and a lunch break for them to socialize and another rehearsal and a performance.
Yeah. How was the, tell us about the performance. What was that like? That must have been pretty interesting for maybe people that don't, maybe if they hadn't performed in a while. You know, if they hadn't done a concert in a while, I think that would be kind of fun for them.
People were just, I mean, the people in the ensemble, even coming into the hall for the first rehearsal,
uh-huh.
the energy level and the excitement was extremely high. They were just happy to be around that environment again.
Yeah.
And we did have some people on the other end of the scale, not for excitement, but people who play all the time.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, some music educators,
yeah.
some other people who are you know, in local groups and things like that. So it was a real mixture. And I had some people who would write to me and say, I'm really concerned because I haven't played.
Uh-huh.
And that was one of the reasons we wanted to send out information early. I said, well, if you got your horn, get it out, start blowing, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, a lot of people said, I don't think I can do it, but they did it. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, good. Well, congratulations on that. on that event, I think that's pretty interesting for the community to have that opportunity to come in and play again and perform with a group that's you know, especially if someone enjoyed that mm-hmm. but didn't have that opportunity
right.
to play, but yet they also maybe learned about the opportunity with the community band that
absolutely.
You know, if they want to continue that.
Yeah, but I'll put in a plug for that. We have a remarkable community band here on campus, and we meet every Thursday evening that school is in session
mm-hmm.
from 7 to 9:30. I just had a person yesterday who sent me an email that said, I'm new to the area.
Oh.
I play. Where,
yeah.
where can I play? And
yeah.
I said, well, let me tell you. And it's wonderful because it's a true community band. You know, we have the gamut from daycare, people who work as daycare workers, pediatric audiologists, mechanics, and they love playing their instruments.
Yeah.
And they sound very good. And
good.
They're just a joy to work with.
Good, good. Well, we've been chatting about the upcoming music season here at UW Parkside with Assistant Professor of Music Laura Rexroth. coming up on Sunday, September 15th at 3 p.m. And I turned my note page, so I'm doing it by what I remember. We have a free concert with Akablas, a touring German group that's coming to campus Sunday, September 15th. And then on October 17th, we have the first student wind ensemble and community band concert at Parkside, Thursday, October 17th at 7 p.m. Laura, thanks for sharing that. And now we're gonna turn over. We're gonna go from music, and we're gonna go over to the popular foreign film series here at UW Parkside, and Emeritus Professor of Economics Norm Cloutier, who, when you hear this program, fall convocation at UW Parkside will have already taken place. But Norm was a star of the show today, with receiving recognition for his service to Parkside, 38 years service to Parkside, and a faculty staff award. So congratulations on both of those honors.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
You and I have had this conversation before, and I thought it was a fun conversation. So I'm going to start with this question.
Sure.
Tell our audience how foreign film starts.
You mean how the program began?
How the program
very,
right began.
From the very beginning.
Right from
okay,
the, and
sure.
I know we could talk for probably a couple hours on that, but I know you can give a kind of a quick view of that.
Sure. Laura will appreciate this because she's closer to the beginning of her career than certainly I am. But I was placed on the Lectures in Fine Arts Committee. This is my first faculty committee. And the very first meeting, and this is true for all first meetings of the year, they elect a chair. And I swear to God, they smelt fresh meat in the room.
There he is.
Which was me, right. And they elected me chair of the Lectures in Fine Arts Committee. And immediately after the election, the provost walked in the room to tell the committee that they had no money to spend. But and it usually had a budget. But if we had come up with some ideas that the administration would be willing to listen to us. Mm-hmm. So I had been involved with a film program as a grad student, but just as a patron. We met in the basement of the Christian Women's Temperance Union in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Wow.
I'm not sure they were aware of all the types of films we were showing in their basement, but and so I thought, well, perhaps we could start a foreign film series here at Parkside.
Sure.
And I was surprised that I got roundly shot down by my colleagues on the committee who had been around, you know, had some experience with film programs here on campus that ended up not being successful.
Yeah.
But Don Cummings, who is in the English department at the time, and after the meeting was over, I was pretty dejected after being rejected. And Don came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, if you're willing to work on that, maybe we can do this, you know, outside the committee." And so that really was the beginning. We approached at the time Chancellor Al Guskin. And he was highly supportive. The way we structured the program, it could have been out a lot of money because we sell season subscriptions only, so there was no tickets at the door.
Right.
But he was highly supportive, and that very first year we sold out, and we've really not looked back since that time.
Yeah. Now, is this year 37?
This coming year will be the 38th. Yeah, the 38th year of the film series.
Yeah. So tell us what's in store for foreign films version 38.
Right. You know, as true for most of our lineups, almost every one of our films have been given awards around the world in various film festivals. We've got, I was looking to see what is unique about this, you know, about this series versus others. And there's a few things. Amazingly, we have added three new countries, which I thought we had pretty much exhausted all the filmmaking countries. But We've got one from Zambia this year. We have one from the Pacific Island nation of, I want to make sure I pronounce this correctly, Vanuatu. And we have a film from North Macedonia this year. So that's one aspect. And the other somewhat unique thing, and I think this is, I mean, certainly this is a good thing. I wish we could report better numbers on this, but we've got six female directors this year, and that's that might be a record for us. We don't keep track of that other than after the fact. You know, we choose our best lineup, and there happened to be six women directors this year.
Because that is, you know, maybe you don't think of it because it just you just see it, but the number of times you see a director, and it is usually a male who's directing
it
the
is.
Film.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and but that's slowly been changing. That's a good thing.
That is.
The film that's kicking off the series is a film, Shoplifters, and the director there is one that Foreign Film Series patrons will be familiar with. It's a Japanese film by Hirokazu Kurita, and he's directed a few films that have been well received by our patrons, Nobody Knows and Like Father, Like Son. Another aspect, I think, of this year's series, and a lot of Foreign Film Series patrons will be happy to hear this. If there's one complaint I get consistently, I don't want to call it a complaint, but a concern.
A suggestion.
A concern and a suggestion, yeah. That suggestion. That foreign films tend to be a little bit on the bleak side. And not to say that there aren't some rough films in this year's lineup, but it is, by and large, more lighthearted. So we've got a fair number of comedies and a fair number of lighthearted films.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, from kind of, before we dive sure. continue to look at the series, how does that process work when you say, what are we going to show this year?
Right. So, and this aspect of the film series has been there since the very beginning, and that is we survey our patrons. Mm-hmm. Every spring, my colleague, Joe Benson, who's my colleague on the film series, put together a list of about 30 to 40 films. We put together summaries of those films and then submit those to our patrons and essentially ask them, what do you want to see next year?
Yeah, right.
We of course, allow people to write in films, and we listen to those write-ins and consider them very closely. Mm-hmm. So essentially the patrons are choosing next year's films, you know, with a little guidance on our part.
Yeah, good. Well, continue with tell us about more about the series.
Oh, sure. The film from North Macedonia, and I'm particularly interested in, it's called Secret Ingredient. I'm sure it's a great film, but more than anything, it was a film that I had a hell of a time getting. We try to keep our costs low for our patrons, and the way the film industry works is that producers of films will then contract with distributors, and this particular distributor did not want to cooperate, so I had to I was about to give up, and I said, you know what, I'm just going to contact the director. So I had a nice back and forth communication with a North Macedonian director of this film who was excited about having his film shown in the United States. It had only been shown a couple other times in the U.S. And he interceded for us and told the distributor to back off and give us the film for a reasonable price.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. That was good. I'm glad I was tenacious enough to not give up on that one.
Right. Yeah. Had you ever done that before, taking that tactic?
I can't say that I've ever contacted a director before, no.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for that. Right. And how many films are in the series this year?
Well, you know, usually we've got a lineup of 14 films, but at the last minute we added a 15th, so it's a little bonus for our patrons. The film we added is one that, frankly, I had a hard time believing we hadn't shown already. It's Jean-Luc Godard's Breathless. Mm. And Joe Benson and I have been trying to include one classic, you know, film every, you know, every season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I first started the series, our first program was back in 1982. We used to show, I would say, maybe 40% of the films were sort of classics. And we're kind of running out of those classics, there's still a few out there like Breathless that we haven't shown.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, this program is going to air the week of Labor Day. So it will be on Tuesday. I think the 2nd is Tuesday. I'm thinking a week ahead here. We'll just say it is. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it's the 3rd. Yeah. Tuesday the 3rd. And then the Sunday following. Mm-hmm. Are people still able to purchase season subscriptions?
Oh, absolutely.
To foreign film series.
Absolutely. Our first film shows on the 12th
of September.
Right. Okay. There's plenty of time to pick up a season pass. I recommend that people go online to purchase those, but
okay.
They can call the UW Parkside concierge and order over the phone as well.
Okay. And that would be just the main 262-595-2345.
Thank you. Yes,
number, and they're able to get there. Okay,
yep.
good.
Yep. And as I said, for people who don't know about the series, just a little bit about how it's structured. We do sell only season passes.
Mm-hmm.
Each pass will, in addition to getting you into the film, you'll get 3 guest passes.
Mm.
So you'll be able to take 3 friends during the year at some point.
Mm-hmm.
We do ask people to choose which day they what showing. We have 6 showings.
Mm-hmm.
We do ask people to try as best they can to continue to come to the showing that they've purchased. But yeah. Our switching policy is extremely liberal.
Mm-hmm.
People can show up pretty much whenever they want.
Okay.
Theoretically, that could be a problem if everyone decides to show up on the same day. And I can count on one hand, over 37 years, the number of times that we've had to turn people away because there aren't seats in the theater.
Right.
So people pretty much stick to that.
Yeah.
But if people are interested in buying a ticket, I highly recommend they do so soon.
Mm-hmm.
Our Thursday nights, Friday nights, and Saturdays at 5 have sold out for a number of years in a row now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. How about the audience itself? I mean, this will be a 38th season mm-hmm. of foreign film series. And how do you see there's got to be new people that come each year,
but they're getting grayer. We're gray hair in the audience.
Yeah.
In fact, I've chided our patrons over the last, I would say 10 years. I've noticed a trend. And that is that, let me back up. When I started the series, Saturdays at 8 were our top. Our top
right.
show that would sell out well before any other show.
Right. Yeah.
And then it was Thursdays and Fridays at 7:30,
mm-hmm.
and now it's Saturday at 5, and pretty soon it's going to be Sunday at 2. I think is going to be our most popular show.
Yeah.
But you're right. There is a turnover, as I say. When I say it's getting grayer, I don't know that that's true, because our numbers, our overall numbers, have maintained.
You know,
we have over 1,500 season ticket holders, and we've maintained that for, I think it's at least 15 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it is. You know, the when you're in the community, and being someone who is interested in, you know, how people react with Parkside. And, you know, you always hear about, so-and-so ran on the cross-country course.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so-and-so, we went to a concert.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we went to the, and the foreign films is always one that's right up there with, you know, maybe someone isn't interacting with the university, maybe from the academic side or that, but, you know, how else do they connect with the university, and how does the university connect with its community?
So, yeah, it's very, that is very gratifying to hear, although I'm always surprised when I hear, you know, when I tell someone what I do and I tell them about the film series and then they haven't heard of it, you know. There still are a few out there. We don't do a lot of advertising. I think our biggest help is just word of mouth.
Yeah. So, well, it's been really interesting. We've been with Assistant Professor of Music Laura Rexroth, who's been telling us about the upcoming concert series, including Akablas on Sunday, September 15th, at 3 p.m. in the Bedford Concert Hall. And Norm Cloutier, Emeritus Professor of Economics here at UW-Parkside, and we've gone through the Foreign Film Series, the 38th year for the Foreign Film Series, very popular series here at UW-Parkside. Laura, again, can you tell us the date for the first Student Wind Ensemble and Community Band Concert?
Yes, that is Thursday night, October 17th.
Okay, and that's at 7?
The concert is at 7. All music concerts, all theater productions, all of our performances that are open to the public are now at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And tickets are $5 for students and $10 for adults.
Great. And people can find out how to get those tickets on the UW-Parkside website?
Absolutely. On the main website pages on the Rita, Rita Talent Pickin site, and also on the music department site.
Okay, great. Laura, thank you for being with us. Norm, thank you for being with us. Again, congratulations on your 38 years of service to UW-Parkside and your faculty staff award at the fall convocation, and best of luck with the Foreign Film Series this year. My name is John Melke. You've been listening to Parkside Today with Assistant Professor of Music Laura Rexroth and Emeritus Professor of Economics Norm Cloutier. For past editions of Parkside Today, please go to uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening.